Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I never thought I was going to do a show on acne. It's not exactly at the top of the list. It's not life death. But you know what? It's on everybody's mind. So some of you are going to have to take a stroll back to memory lane when you had it. That is cystic acne. If you ever had it, if you haven't had it, listen anyway, because it's going to tie together a lot of basic physiological concepts that explain a lot of problems, which, as you well know, is going to be a claim that I'll make that confuses people when they try to analyze their issue, meaning it's the intersection of 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 different variables that creates a problem like cystic acne. And in your particular integration of these problems is your symptom, cystic acne. But what people do, and cystic acne, that's acne. If you go on the website, you'll see lots of pictures of this. Cystic acne, where you get those large, round, infected, very red nodular zits, in plain English. If you get them, it's top priority for you because you're always looking at them. That's the thing about this. You can't hide it. So it really is a real issue for people when they have it. And your grandkids may have it. Your children may have it. But lots of adults get it in their 40s and 30s. There's reasons for that. But I wanted to pick this topic today because it's a great example of something that people don't figure out because they don't have the right perspective. Cystic acne occurs for multiple reasons, and everybody wants to go after one or two of these reasons, or they go after one or two of these reasons at different times, instead of putting all 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 reasons at bay at the same time. So I want to use this day, this hour, as an example of how we're supposed to approach a very common plague that we don't. So we need that perspective shift. If you get to the website, that's straighttalk.cc, I've got a great picture. I've got 16 great pictures. But I'm going to use them as always, because if you just get the picture of the dermal layer of the skin clear in your head, we can work off this for the whole 60 minutes. So hopefully you're on the website, straighttalk.cc. That's 2 T's, .cc, not .com. Get to that website. Picture number one, it's a picture of a hair follicle. It's a picture of your skin. And your skin is layered from the epidermis, which is what you can touch with your fingers. That's a thin layer. To the dermal layer. The dermal layer is where the action is. To the fatty layer. So your skin, for all intents and purposes today, is 3 layers. What you can touch, the dermal layer underneath. That's the deeper layer. And then there's a deeper layer below that. That's the fatty layer. And that fatty layer is overlooked. We're going to focus on that fatty layer today. Because overlooking it is the reason people don't understand cystic acne, not on the level they should. I think across the board, it's not a particularly well-treated issue. More and more people have it. There's lots of good reasons for it. And more adults are getting it today. And again, if your good skin, if your healthy, beautiful skin is linked to your livelihood, it's more than serious. You may start to look at it as life or death. If you're a model, if you're an actor or an actress, if you're in a position where you meet the public a lot, the last thing you can afford is this melee of these big red blotches on your face just when you're giving a presentation to strangers. It's prejudicial in job applications. If you have to meet the public, you're not going to get hired. They're not going to tell you that. So it really is an issue. It's a serious issue, even though it's not life-threatening. We can straighten this problem out for you if you'll just understand those three layers. Okay. Lots of people say cystic acne is related to hormones. And although that's true, what hormones mean is what everybody either marginalizes or doesn't understand at all. To say it's related to hormone is not enough. Women especially will hook this into hormones because kids at puberty get it more often than not. Well, two good reasons why everyone in the public sector is going to hook it to hormones. Kids during puberty have hormonal rises, so it's hormones. And women during their menstrual cycles and just after ovulation are going to note that they get flare-ups. So at the tip of everybody's tongue about cystic acne is hormone. Now, although that's true to an extent, we'll explain that, the solution is off base because then everybody thinks that you just manipulate the hormones and that's how you get your cure. That is the big mistake. You see, we marginalize it. We simplify it. We do what we always do. That terrible mistake as we approach symptom, disease, so on and so forth, where all we're doing is reducing the symphony between musical instruments in the body that have to create a climatic crescendo in the music to get the job done. Instead of imploring, instead of eliciting the musical symphony of healing, what we do, unfortunately, is we marginalize it to one note, cookie cutter in one note. So we do Accutane. So we do antibiotics. So we overlook all the different variables that are going to produce cystic acne at puberty or in midlife. Let's explain. Okay, off that picture. First thing I want you to look at is the sebaceous gland. So those of you who don't have the website, understand that underneath the dermal layer of the skin, underneath the epidermal layer of the skin, so you can't see these, are these little sacs called sebaceous glands. And that's where we have sebacites, little cells that make this oil called sebum. Now everybody knows that zits mean oily face. But oil's good, but oil's bad. Too much oil clogs the pore. Now, there's a lot of variability there that we have to understand. So let's talk about trans fats. Let's talk about hydrogenated fats. Let's talk about that greasy, heavy stuff that gives us heartburn. Let's talk about those potato chip fats. Those ice cream fats, the cheap ice creams. Let's talk about cheese, Pizza Hut, Domino's. Let's talk about all those garbage fats that somehow sneak their way in, all those fats and carbohydrates. So when we make a piece of bread, we coat it with oil, and then we bake it. We bake it under high heat. Like that crust, that nice crust is made crusty by mixing that dough with a little bit of lard, basting it. Bad fats get in there. Those bad fats make those heavier oils. When we say a fat is a bad fat, what we're usually talking about is a fat that's stickier. That's the key word here, stickier. If we give to the sebacite, meaning the cell in the follicle that makes the oil, if we give that cell nothing better than garbage sticky fat, not the avocado fat, not the fish fat, not those omega-3 fats, not the fats that we truly need, but those heavy, thick, snotty fats, we're going to have heavy, sticky, snotty sebum. We're going to produce oils that are much, much, much thicker. In that they're thicker, they're more likely to plug the pores. Now, those oils, that sebum that's supposed to come through the pore, that oil's produced for a reason. That oil's produced because there are dead cells on the skin. And as you make that oil, and as that oil gushes into the follicle and out through your skin, well, that oil is made to bring those dead skin cells with it. Basically, oil production is exfoliation. Oil production, if the oil moves, is exfoliation. It's not just to lubricate the skin. It's not just to protect against the wrinkles. It's to move bacteria. It's to move dead skin cells out of the pores. People don't think of oil that way because oil generally, when it's made of garbage fat, is simply going to plug the pore. So right there, you need the oil change. So if you check some of those pictures, put some pictures on the website of people with real cystic acne. Some of those pictures are intense. That's a lot to deal with at any time in your life, especially those teenage years. And if you're getting it today, the same issue applies. Is the quality of your sebum light and easy? Is it flowing? Well, that has a lot to do with your gallbladder, too. If that gallbladder is not hydrolyzing fats, if it's not emulsifying fats, then you're not going to get those good oils. And oil deficiency can drive cystic acne just as much as sticky, excessive, bad oil production. So you can pin it on oil, but oil in its righteous form is a disinfectant for the skin. See, this is the thing. Oil, as it's commonly observed, at least in the last 50 years, as it's commonly observed, is a congestion of trans and hydrogenated oils, of oils that are going to plug. If you're even getting your oils, this is why people that go off oils to fix acne are making a terrible mistake. Because the good oils will clean out the bad oils. You have to do oil exchange. And then people that don't do oil, because they reason that because their skin is oily, well, in fact, they just shouldn't take any oil whatsoever. Those people can start to dry their skin. Even at the height of puberty, even in your 20s and 30s, especially in midlife, if you're not the one that's got more aggressive sebaceous glands, if your natural tendency is not to get oily, and because you're getting cystic acne, you go off oils completely, you're going to end up with the same issue. Because if you go too low in oil, you're not going to flush out that follicle. So the quality of oil in that follicle, number one on your list. And this rise in the last 30, 40 years, and yes, of course, there's been a rise in the last 30, 40, 50 years of cystic acne in teenagers and in adults. Look to the oils. There's number one. Here's another one, the fat. If you check that picture, below the dermal layer of the skin, below the dermal layer of the skin, is all this adipose tissue, fatty tissue. And there's a word, and I've used it many times, lipophilic. Lipophilic means that which will immerse and become soluble or mix into the fat. There are a ton of chemicals called xenoestrogens, and we're going to talk about them a little later. But there's a lot of other chemicals And the combination of xenoestrogenic chemicals and chemicals that will irritate the follicles, that will be excreted through the skin because they're being pushed into the fatty layer of the skin, will collectively provide another negative force, another negative variable that ultimately produces those cysts. Let's give you an example of this. Wine. Great example. Now, I've got a whole clan of people with cystic acne, middle-aged. It's odd, but they're all wine drinkers. It's been very interesting to me. It's like a profile. They're estrogen dominant. They're wine drinkers. They're high anxiety. They don't produce a lot of bile in the liver. They fit about six or seven of the categories that we're going to discuss today that can drive cystic acne. And almost invariably, they're pot-shotting the solution dermatologically. Well, that makes sense. You go to your esthetician for cystic acne. You work it topically. Not to take it away from them. But if they all met each other, they'd see the common link between the issue. And what I'm pointing to right now is people develop habits, whether it's coffee, whether it's chocolate, whether it's red wine or white wine, where they're producing a diet, taking in a lot of either xenoestrogens, chemicals that mimic their estrogen, and creating more estrogen dominance, or in fact, just plain old chemicals that are going to mix into the fat of the skin. Pesticides. The pesticides in red wine. And of course, keep in mind when I say that, this solution, supposed solution about organic red wine, is sort of farcical. Because if you go up and look at the vineyards that produce the organic red wine, almost invariably they're using the same water to water the grapes that the guy next door or the other guy next door or the other farm next door is using. And that water is very high in pesticides. So although they don't spray pesticides on their grapes, the runoff from the water or the pesticide spray in the wind will contaminate their grapes just as much as the ones that are sprayed. So when you really study, when you analyze your organic grape and the wine made from organic grape, you're seeing an appreciable amount of pesticide. So if you just take a red wine drinker or you take a coffee drinker, the amount of pesticide is more than enough to do what? It's another habit. It's a dietary habit that's going to saturate the fat in the skin with chemicals that will, one, interfere with the hormonal issues that we're going to get into, and number two, it's going to irritate the follicle. The skin doesn't want to be excreting chemicals. The liver wants to take those chemicals out. If you've got a toxic estrogen, if you've got a pesticide, if you've got a petrochemical, name the chemical, at least half of them are fat soluble. That means they're going to end up in your fat. And the fat of the skin near the follicle will be used as an excretory route for that chemical. Body's not going to send it into the circulation and through the liver and gallbladder if you've even got a functional liver and gallbladder. The body's going to send it out the skin. Or it's going to collect there and just drip into the follicle. It's going to find its way. Because fat is always doing fat exchange. But if fat exchange is a fat saturated with chemical, and yes, these things are real. And yes, if you take bodies and you put them under microscopes, you're going to find the chemicals and the saturation rates are much, much higher than anyone would ever think. And studies are done, And those studies just sit on shelves. They never really get to the public. Studies on animals are done, and they never get to the public. But if you study it, it'll show you all these issues. So number one is the quality of the oil in your body. Are you getting your omegas? Your omega-3s are anti-inflammatory. Your omega-3s are not sticky. They'll supply the fatty acids for the triglyceride chain that the sebaceous gland uses to make the sebum. And that sebum will be a non-sticky sebum, a sebum that'll flow and clean. Then there's the fat itself below the dermal layer. Is that fat clean, or is that fat simply dripping constantly? A low level or a high level of xenoestrogenic or irritating chemicals into the pore. And those chemicals combine with a sticky sebum and just add to the clot, so to speak. The same way you clot the arteries of your vascular system is the same way you clot and clog the excretory routes of the skin. And so there you have this fat layer, this overlooked fat layer, filled with chemicals. Number three, toxic hormone. Now, what do we mean by toxic hormone? Well, here's what we do know. We know that there are testosterone receptors in the skin. And those testosterone receptors will increase the production of sebum. And so we link a lot of the production of sebum to high testosterone. Every time you see somebody like that, if you go over to Mr. Liver and you try to get some sort of a sensibility as to how that liver functions, you're going to see a couple of issues. Number one, you're going to see the blood in the liver is a little bit too thick. It's hypercoagulated. Now, that's generally not an allopathic term, except if you study vascular systems, it's very much an issue, the coagulability of blood. And it's an interesting topic in subclinical medicine, meaning inquiries into how the body functions before the body gets sick. That the viscosity of the blood, that if the blood gets too thick, it tends to pool in the liver more than anywhere. And this is significant, because that testosterone that will bind to the sebaceous glands and produce all of this sebum, in other words, men especially and women, produce that oil in the sebaceite, in the sebaceous gland, on the basis of testosterone binding in to the sebaceite, into this waxy, oily-producing cell. And there's a perception that estrogen will block that. There's a perception that if you put estrogen in the body, it will block the binding of the testosterone. So there's a perception that says take the birth control pill to get rid of your acne. And women do that. And women may succeed at that. But it's costly to do that at the exclusion of another factor. And this is why the whole issue, if you've ever been through it, is tricky as far as understanding the hormonal cascade behind acne, cystic acne. You're going to hear it's because of estrogen dominance. At the same time, you're going to hear that estrogen's good for it. You're going to hear that something like the birth control pill is not good. You're going to hear stories that say, well, I took the birth control pill and it didn't work. And then you're going to hear stories that are quite the contrary. So we're talking about a third driver on this, the hormonal cascade. And you really got to bear down here because there's a lot of opinion about this. But if you understand it, you'll come out on the better side. So number one, the sebacite, the oil-producing gland, is known to produce the oil. The testosterone binds to that site, binds to the cell, and produces lots of oil. That testosterone is competed by with estrogen. So the theory goes, and the science shows, that estrogen will block the testosterone, and if it does, you won't produce as much oil. So people that do the birth control pill to help their acne often say the acne helped. The problem is that it works at the exclusion of a more fundamental driver, and that is efficiency in the liver. The liver is a factory, and if that factory works correctly, the liver will take care of the excessive production of all the hormones. There is an intelligence in the liver that takes a look through the hypothalamus at the balance of hormone in the body, meaning at any given moment, how much estradiol, how much estrone, how much estriol, how much cortisol, how much dihydroepiandrosterone, how much pregnenolone, et cetera, is going to be seen in the blood, in the body. And that liver, when its efficiency dips below a certain level, the liver fails to balance hormone. The hormonal cascade starts to run amok, and you'll get a multitude of observations, of examples in the body, from hair on the face that you don't want if you're female, to irritability, to pain in the joints, to PMS, to the whole slew of everything, including cystic acne, from what we claim will be the binding of testosterone to sebaceous gland cells. The short-term cure, the birth control pill, works at the exclusion of the deeper cure through the liver. The liver is a factory that flushes blood through it. Its efficiency is proportional to the viscosity of the blood. Its efficiency is proportional to the rate at which the blood throws fluid. This is why when people upgrade, when they focus on what we call either cleaning the liver or fertilizing the liver or toning the liver or taking the organ and saying this organ, product of 1600 physiological functions, if its overall efficiency rises to a certain level, it will gladly and way more efficiently cleave and put together the hormonal ratios you need in your body. So you take your choice then. Take your choice between noting that the testosterone that binds your receptor, that produces the sebum and the cystic acne, is competed with by the estrogen. And on that basis, let's just pump more estrogen through the birth control pill into that receptor site, bump out the testosterone, and note that your acne improves. Let's weigh that, its central intelligence, against taking that testosterone and having it taken apart in the liver as the central intelligence of the body takes care of that ratio of hormone. Those are two very distinct ways to go about it. And as we continue today, you're going to see that going one way is the birth control pill, is Accutane, is antibiotics, is IV antibiotics, is chronic use of antibiotics, is dermatology, is topical dermatology, is estheticians, is this cascade of these one-pot solutions that don't ask the central axis of the body, the central intelligence, to start working on very, very basic levels. And that's why we don't get our results. We're defeating the body's high intelligence. The quality of your oils. The ability of the body to balance hormone by taking care of liver. Well, one thing you have to do to take care of liver, and we don't have to really go into it today, is to get the bile flowing. Enough said there. Check my other shows if you haven't heard. To move the bile is to move the hormone to the liver more rapidly. I've got a great picture of the liver. I put it there for another reason. But if you're on the site, take a look at picture number 11. Great picture of the inside of the liver. All these little cells. And these cells have all these tubes running through them. And these tubes are called the bile canaliculi. They're microscopic. And what they're going to ensure you, if you've got cystic acne as an adult, is that the hormonal imbalance that we call cystic acne is going to be ratioed out. It's all going to go into the liver, where it's going to be reappropriated, and what's not needed is going to get thrown into the bile duct and out of your body. And if your bowels are working, you'll never see what you don't need again. All the toxic metabolites of different hormones can be reappropriated or dispensed with through the liver and then the biliary system. But here's what's overlooked. If you back up the biliary system, you back up the liver. If you slow down the thickness of the blood through the liver, then you're going to slow down the rate at which the liver balances hormone. We're building. Sort of long-winded through the back door, but we're building. What you're doing is you're sitting and you're learning medicine, because this is what it is. It's not Accutane. It's not the birth control pill. How does that even make sense? If your intuitive faculty, if your central intelligence, if your basic common sense is triggered by the notion that your child's cystic acne or your own midlife acne is supposed to be solved with Accutane, which, if you check its record, has all sorts of issues associated with it, the birth control pill included. Long-term use of antibiotic, there's number three, against understanding the symphony. So number one in the symphony are the oils. Number two is blood viscosity, which affects the rate at which you'll redistribute your hormones. Number three are those hormones themselves and their ability to be excreted through the biliary system, the toxic metabolites of those hormones, or what? Or the receptor sites up in the sebaceous glands are alienated by the binding of the wrong hormones. Now, estrogen dominance, number four. Estrogen dominance in a woman, or a man even, refers to the role of estrogen not being competed with the role of progesterone. That the brother-sister combination of hormone coming out of the ovary in the female is to either produce an unopposed action of the estrogen, and an unopposed action of the estrogen, or a marginalization of the use of progesterone, leaves us a problem. Because the testosterone that binds to these receptor sites that produces all this oil, that testosterone is really converted to dihydrotestosterone to be activated. Testosterone converts to DHT, dihydrotestosterone, for it to truly be active in the production of sebum or this oil. And that DHT, that conversion of testosterone to DHT, is dependent upon an enzyme called 5-alpha reductase. 5-alpha reductase. 5-alpha reductase is inhibited by progesterone. If you inhibit 5-alpha reductase, you prevent that conversion of testosterone to DHT, and the DHT then cannot avail itself to the sebacite or the sebaceous cell to produce the oil. So progesterone becomes critical. Except that if you, in fact, marginalize its production, if you marginalize its ability to bind sites by estrogen dominance, by a individual that's taking in mounds of toxic estrogen in the wine, in the air, in the hairspray, in the makeup, in the clothing, in the butter, in the cream, in toxic meat, ice cream. The list of where you're going to find estrogen mimicking chemicals in everyday use, whether it's on the skin, in the hair, with the drugs we take, with the food we eat, in the water. The infusion of estrogenic chemicals marginalizes progesterone's ability to inhibit the use of the 5-reductase. And that reductase then cannot produce the testosterone, cannot produce or initiate the creation of the DHT. So you have cystic acne. So you're 40 or 50 or 30 years old. If you go into your diet, you're going to find many, many, many chemicals. You're going to find that you're probably estrogen dominant. Estrogen dominant females. Get the book by John Lee. Get the book by John Lee, What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Premenopause. Balancing your hormones and your life from age 30 to 50. Read that book. It'll tell you a lot about you. If you're female, especially between the ages of 30 and 50, and you're suffering from cystic acne, this is you. I would extend that to pubescent females. But I really want to focus in on those people from their upper 20s to their early 50s. And the reason is, it doesn't make sense to them. Culture understands acne on kids. Culture doesn't understand acne on adults. So if you're estrogen dominant, the hips are a little bit larger. Often the skin's a little bit darker. Even if you're mostly from a lighter skinned background, a lot of times you'll have genes. And those genes may only represent maybe a quarter or an eighth of your ethnic hybridization. But that one eighth becomes you. You inherited that one eighth. And an estrogenic profile is your period clotty. Do you find that when you get massage, deep tissue massage, here's one great way to determine an estrogenic body. If somebody in massage, or you can do it at yourself right now, you take your hand and you press deeply into your forearm. So you go below the skin, you go actually below the muscle, between the muscles, towards where the bone is. And you're going to find it's tender. Even it's painful. estrogenic females? Are you a little more cystic? A little more cystic in the breast? Have you done years of the birth control pill? Is there estrogen-receptive breast cancer in your family? Lots of ways to determine if you're estrogen dominant. If you're estrogen dominant, if the fats you eat are not the right fats, if the foods you eat are going to bind with your fat because there are chemicals, irritants in the food, you're building the case. Do you sweat? Do you sweat? Because here's a solution. If you sweat, however imbalanced you're going to be in that area below the follicle, in the dermal layer, the sweat, which does what? It joins with the sebaceous gland. You have a joining or a union of the oil from the sebaceous gland, that oil that's going to congest with the sweat gland. And if you're moving and sweating, you're going to move the oil. If the oil's too thick, but you're sweating profusely, you're going to move the oil. If the oil is thick and you're sweating profusely, you need one more hand. You need a hand from the blood. If you look at that picture, say picture one again, you're going to see, or you're going to realize, that the dermal layer of the skin is loaded with blood vessel. And the layer below that is loaded with blood vessel. And that blood can get too thick, just like it gets too thick in the liver. Again, if the liver's blood flow is sluggish, this will disperse itself into every little minion in the body. So that we say, there are estheticians that even say, that when they drain the lesions in cystic acne, the blood is dark. The blood is black. The dark blood from stasis provides a format or a basis through which every transaction through the skin will be minimalized. So the flow through the sebaceous gland, the flow of the sweat gland, the ability to drain the dermal layer. Remember, the dermal layer, for as much as we have excretion out, we also have drainage from. You've got tiny capillary systems and tiny venous systems in that area. And if the blood begins to get too thick in the face, you're not going to get drainage. Drainage reflects another tipping point in the accumulation of the metabolites that are going to irritate the skin, that the skin is then going to use to exit, thus the inflammatory process. So look at what we're building here. We're building, one, do you sweat? Two, what's the quality of your oils? Three, do you have flow through the biliary system? Four, do you have flow of blood through the liver, so that the liver can appropriate hormone and balance it correctly? Five, are you xenoestrogenic? For whatever reason, if the testosterone production in that individual is more than the body can handle, the body will go into compensatory mechanisms if the other systems are working. You can't pin anything in the body on one issue. You're always looking at a multitude of issues. So we've got five reasons. So what would you do about sweating? What do you do about sweating as a clue? If you understand it as a driver, you take it another level, and that's to the infrared sauna. The infrared sauna at 150, 160 degrees Fahrenheit, with infrared ray hitting the body, is as powerful a remover of blood stasis especially in the skin. This is exactly where it'll target. And if you want to do it yourself, another comeuppance. Take the clays. Take the black magma clay. Take any clay you have faith in. And put that on the neck and the shoulders and the face. And let it go in and start to do what? Dissolve stasis. Dissolve granulation. Dissolve congestion under heat, under the kind of heat that'll move the lymph and move the blood. And then come out of that sauna, or if it's not an infrared sauna, do a Banya sauna where the temperature goes up to a few hundred degrees. And then come out of those saunas and plunge into the cold. Circulate through the face. Circulate blood. Circulate lymph. Circulate oil. Thin the oil with diet. If you put more variables together, sooner or later you hit critical mass. You hit the point at which you'll acquire enough positive reciprocity to counterbalance negative reciprocity. Take the time to really clue into that. A symptom like cystic acne is simply the imbalance between the positive variables and the negative variables. Everything that adds up in your favor is outbid by everything that adds up against your favor. And that's the way you have to look at your health for any symptom. But cystic acne is famous for being marginalized. It's actually sort of a pitfall in the logic, in our humanness. It's very easy to look at a zit that everyone else, in your mind at any rate, is going to stare at, or a bunch of them. Or if it's to the point where it's really all over the face, people are going to stare at it. They're going to look at it. It's tough to deal with that. The mind's going to go to, how do I get it? What do I have to do about it? You can see it, and so you singularize it. It's just common logic to do that. And it pulls you away from the reality of getting rid of it, which is to look at the multiple variables and start to kick them in to your favor. And that doesn't necessarily mean you look at the list of everything and do everything. It doesn't mean that in your function. What it means is find out your portfolio. Discover you. The list goes on. Cortisol. Stress. I have yet to have a female especially, age 30 to 50, with cystic acne, that wasn't under extreme high anxiety. They're high anxiety types. They tend to be estrogen dominant types and high anxiety types. Very often, they have habits where they're ingesting large amounts of xenoestrogens. And they're very intent on making sure these skin issues resolve for very good reasons. But that anxiety, their basic nature, what happened long before they had zits, was up there in the liver. Take a look at that picture if you can. Number 11. And picture those bile ducts. If you're not on the site, just visualize tiny little tubes running deep inside the liver that connect into the intestine and into the toilet, whose function is to pull out all these things that will come out your face otherwise. And understand that the liver is the organ of frustration, of anger, of passive anger, of explosive anger. Every little temper tantrum you have internally or externally Those passageways, those ducts, those bile canaliculi are constricting. Anger kills bile. Frustration kills bile flow. Passive anger, internalization, constricts bile flow. All of those emotions and all the shades of emotion prevent the liver from optimizing itself. Anxiety hits the liver. The other thing anxiety, anger, internalized anger, frustration, temper tantrums, what all these things do generally is make the adrenal gland produce more cortisol. Because stress creates oxidative damage to the body systemically. All the cells start to get eaten from the metabolites of stress. And so the adrenal glands has to pump out more cortisol. Well, it does do that, but producing cortisol robs progesterone. Cortisol goes up, progesterone goes down. There's one that you don't generally hear or think about. Less progesterone, less inhibition of 5-alpha reductase, more production of sebum. Stress creates zits. Hundreds of studies done. The progesterone thing is one example of the result. Constriction through the biliary system. Destabilization of optimal liver function. These things are real. I don't know where science is. This should be the headline. Because these things are in the books. Which science are you talking about? Not the science you're generally hearing about. This is the science that just collects dust. These nuggets of gold that people overlook. And so the result is Accutane. Get on Google. Do a Google search on the number of people that swear to the long-term horrid side effects of Accutane, not to mention antibiotics. All the people who have failed to work out their cystic acne issues, loss of employment, loss of esteem. All the side effects of this because the science, yes, and you can call this science. Lots of people don't want to call it science. Perhaps we should develop a new science. Because it's all there. But you have to piece it together. And the first thing you have to do is get off the notion that cure is marginalization, that cure is external. That cure is about something that somebody gives you in a very linear way that fixes the problem. You'd have to shift your mind to, the new science would have to shift its mind to, the expression of a symptom is really the tip of an iceberg that indicates the multiple issues adding up against the positive, healthy, homeostatic balance that the body is constantly trying to compensate you with. That the positive reciprocity, that the positive soldiers, that the good guys are trying to overcome so that the bad guys don't take control. It's not complicated to think that way, but it's not the way we approach. And cystic acne is a wonderful example of our failure to do so. So stress does it. The wrong oils do it. Blood stasis does it. The downregulation of liver function and the resultant inability to balance hormone, blocked bile ducts, inability to sweat, not sweating regularly, xenoestrogenic dominant females that are not noting all the toxic estrogen they're taking in through diet. And the list goes on. Hot cold therapies that people just don't think about doing. We don't organize ourselves through society in ways that avail us easily with hygiene in mind and elegance to a backyard or even a community center equipped with infrared saunas and naturally salinated pools where we can flush the dark blood through our body. Blood stasis. If cystic acne is long-term and you go into those pores, what you're going to see ultimately is the growth of fungus. And the growth of fungus takes it to a whole other level. Now we have fungus in the skin. Fungus is there. Yeast is there to eat dead tissue. Dead tissue that you can't excrete will ultimately grow fungus as a solution. And then the fungus has its own excretory issue. And now we're building the negative cascade instead of building the positive cascade. And so we have it. Another prime example of why we don't get results. Perhaps you've got an issue that you've dealt with for a long time and you haven't got results. Well, remember this day because I'm asking you, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, and I'm asking you to take another perspective. If you're new to the show, get on the website, go to the archives, and explore the themes, irregardless of what topic we take for the day. We're always going to come back to the same concept. And that concept asks you to look at health as a myriad of balance against the myriad of imbalance. And that takes education. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Have a good day.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.